Hello, listeners, and thanks for tuning in to Master English with Tim, the podcast where Tim helps you to master English in depth and detail. I'm Tim, native speaker English teacher since 2005, polyglot, world traveler, and most recently, podcaster. For the last couple of episodes, I've been talking to you all about different modal verbs as the first part of my mini course on the English verb tenses for students with a B1, B2, or C1 level of English. Modal verbs are important because we use them all the time to talk about things like probability and permission. Modal verbs are also important because every modal verb is also an auxiliary verb, also called a helping verb, and we need auxiliary verbs to make questions and negative sentences in the different verb tenses. There actually is quite a lot to know about modal verbs, so I need several lessons, actually about four of them, to explain everything you need to know about them. I've already done two of them. That was episodes 52 and 53, and today's is the third. In this week's episode, I want to do more than talk about modal verbs, though, because if the only thing I talk about for 1 month of episodes is that one topic, you probably will get bored, and I will too. So, let me tell you a few things about what's happened in my life in the past week or so. My school, where I normally teach, is on spring break. No, I did not do the university spring break thing where I go crazy and go to Florida or Panama or something and act like a complete idiot. No, I'm a school teacher. I don't do those things, and I never did. This spring break it's ending today. Today's the last day, and today was a glorious day because we had 1 week of spring break, the Saturday and Sunday that it started on, and the Saturday and Sunday after it. So it was 9 days in a row. And today was a glorious day because that Monday to Friday of last week, when I normally would be working, well, it rained basically, you know, 4 out of the 5 days. Which really, not destroy my enjoyment, but, limit it. And I didn't allow that to happen. But in any case, I still was happy when the sun came back out, which was yesterday. And today, the weather, like I said, was glorious. Absolutely sunny, very few clouds in the sky, perfect temperature, 80 degrees Fahrenheit. I don't know what that is in centigrade, something like 25, something where it's nice and warm, but not uncomfortably so. And I went for a bike ride. I think if you've listened to this podcast quite a bit, I've mentioned a few times that I ride a bike, and I had a really glorious bike ride. I live in Ohio, more specifically Loveland, Ohio, and there is a bike path. It was converted from a railroad many years ago. I don't know when. I remember when I was maybe 10 years old, it was already a bike path and not a railroad. And it goes along a river that goes into the Ohio River. This river is the Little Miami River. No connection to Miami in Florida, at the other end of the country. So you can ride on your bike along this river, on the bike path, and just have a nice time. It's flat. I do like to go on hills normally, but sometimes I don't want to do them. Also, I don't like traffic a lot. The roads in my city are pretty wide, and for the most part, I have very, very few problems with people in cars. Still, when you're riding on a bike path, it's a guarantee that there's going to be no issue with traffic, basically. So I went down the bike path, and I went on a really long ride. It was difficult at first because I had a headwind. A headwind is wind that blows in your face. So you're riding against the wind when you have a headwind. Yeah, there's a pretty bad headwind. And I knew that when I turned around, I would then have a tailwind at the end, after I finished the first half of my trip, as long as I didn't have bad luck and the wind didn't also turn around. I've had that happen. You ride out, you've got a headwind, and if the wind's in your face, you're slow, you feel weak, you're pedaling in a low gear, you're not going very fast, and you think, when I come back, I'm going to be so fast, I'm going to feel like a superhero. You turn around, and the wind turns around too, and you pedal home with a headwind also. That's not what happened this time. I rode quite far, a total of 67 kilometers. On the way back, when I turned around, as I was getting towards the end of the first half, before I turned back around, the wind was insane. I mean, I was going maybe 15 kilometers an hour, and just suffering. And still, the weather was beautiful. I met a couple of Germans on bikes. I recognized their accent, started speaking to them. And as is often the case with Germans, they didn't really want to talk in German with me. If you're a native speaker of English and you meet Germans, it can be kind of difficult to meet Germans who are ready to speak German with you. They want to, you know, learn as much English as possible. Now, if somebody comes from Serbia or something, then, you know, and that person is speaking English, then some of them will act like they don't speak English. They'll try to make the person speak German, even though English would be easy. That doesn't happen all the time, but I've noticed it happen. Everybody has their issues. Anyway, I do love Germany. I lived there for a year, so I don't want to say, you know, nothing but bad things about it. Love the country. And anyway, so I turned around after, you know, talking to these Germans, or trying to talk to them, and I turned around and I had the wind at my back. And wow, it was amazing. I mean, the speed that I was going was maybe 33 kilometers an hour without even really trying. And this was with me already a little bit tired. I did get extremely tired on the way back. The tailwind did not last the entire time, and I hadn't brought enough water or you know, sweet things to eat, and I got really tired. I stopped to get some sports drink, and that was like taking a piece of paper and throwing it on a campfire. It just wasn't enough. It did help a lot. I did feel a lot better afterwards. But when I was getting close to home, the thing is that my house that I live in is at the top of a hill. It's not a huge hill, but it's significant. And when you're coming back at the end of a bike ride, most of the time you have to ride up a hill at the very end of your ride, which is not fun. And I really was going super slow, like walking speed up this thing. And normally I pride myself on my ability to go up hills relatively fast. I like going up more than down, which is kind of weird, but that's the kind of person I am. So anyway, yeah, it was an amazing bike ride, and afterwards I had a nice dinner with my dad. And something that was more interesting than this bike ride was that earlier this week, there was a solar eclipse. An eclipse is an event in astronomy where the sun is covered up by the moon, or the reverse, the moon is covered up by the sun. In this case, the sun was covered up by the moon, and there is what is called the path of totality. So totality is when the moon completely covers the sun. It's not just partial, the moon completely covers it. And there's certain places where that happens. If you're too far east or too far west or north or south, whatever, then that won't happen. You'll only get a partial eclipse. This was a complete eclipse, and we were in the path, near the path of totality. My dad and I, on Sunday, we drove west about 90 minutes to get there. We went to Indiana, which is the neighboring state to the west of Ohio, and I found that the people were extremely polite. It actually made me feel kind of uncomfortable. It made me feel like some kind of barbarian or something. Maybe that's because Indiana is more rural, there are fewer cities, and the people know each other better. But in any case, we had a nice time, and we were in a hotel, and the eclipse itself was fantastic. We just went out in the parking lot, and you need dark glasses to look at the sun during an eclipse, because, well, you just shouldn't look at the sun. It'll burn your eyes, obviously. So anyway, we were in the parking lot, and we hadn't brought the glasses with us. We left kind of in a hurry, and I had the feeling that we were not going to get glasses, we were not going to enjoy the eclipse completely, and they were going to be sold out, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I tend to make a disaster out of things sometimes. And in reality, what happened was there was a guy in the parking lot who had bought 50 pairs of dark glasses to look at the sun, and he just loved giving them away. So he had several of them left. He gave one pair to me, gave one pair to my dad, and he told us about his experience in the previous eclipse, which I missed in 2017, and my dad and I sat there and just looked up at the sky, and at a certain point, it started to get a little bit darker, just a little bit, and the light looked a little bit different, and people talk about what the animals do during an eclipse. I didn't find it to be that marked or crazy what they were doing. You know, the birds started making a little bit more noise, and maybe you could hear a dog barking, but maybe that was just because I just started to pay attention to them. I don't know. It wasn't a big deal, that particular aspect. Anyway, the light started to get a little bit darker or dimmer, and then the temperature started to fall. This happened over a period of about 30 minutes. If you looked up at the sun through your dark glasses, you could see that instead of there being a crescent moon you have when the moon looks like a croissant, a French croissant that they eat for breakfast. So instead of having a crescent moon, you had a crescent sun, because the moon was starting to cover up the sun. It was coming from the right and moving towards the left. And It just became, you know, colder and colder. It probably dropped about 8 degrees centigrade. It was a really, you know, unusual feeling, kind of like before a storm, where the temperature just drops very rapidly. But this was more step by step. It didn't feel so so sudden. It felt step by step, but it was still very, very noticeable. It felt controlled. And at some point, you know, we were looking up at the sun quite a bit. There was an airplane flying around, I guess, for people to have even more enjoyment up there to look at it. And at some point, people just started yelling and screaming, "Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah." And I looked around and I saw that the other people in the parking lot, well, they also, well, they were looking at the sun without any glasses. And I thought, oh, well, okay, I can do that now, too. I looked up and, wow, the sun was just black. It was just a black hole in the sky. Absolutely amazing. And surrounding it were just these white moving flames. It just was a really unique experience. And at this point, it was not nighttime dark, but it was dark. It was very close to nighttime kind of dark. Kind of like at dusk. Dusk is the period of time at the end of the day when the sun is going down. And that lasted for about 4 minutes. That's why we drove there, actually, because if you're too far east or west, if you're in the wrong place, then the totality only lasts, you know, maybe 1 minute or 2 minutes, and we wanted the maximum, so we drove west, and, you know, we got it. And, you know, people were cheering, and just, it was a really great atmosphere. People were filming it and taking pictures and so on. I took some pictures. They weren't very good. They didn't really do justice. Just a regular Google search will serve you better, if that's what you want to see. And at the bottom of the sun, there was this very tiny sparkle, shining like a little diamond, but it was the color of, like, grapefruit skin. And it was just pink orange, and it just sparkled. It was so intense and so bright. It didn't hurt because it was so small, but it was just really amazing, a really beautiful sight. And then it just ended. Within 30 seconds or so, the light came back, the temperature came back most of the way, and within, like I said, 30 seconds, it was mostly over, which was not what I expected. I expected it to be, you know, another 30 minutes, like it had been, like it had started. So, you know, after that, not long after, my dad and I got back in the car, and we drove back east to Ohio, and wow, the traffic was not fun. This was predicted. It took us, instead of 90 minutes, like it took us to get there, it took us more like 4.5 hours or so. We'd go south to avoid the main traffic, and then drive east, and, you know, then you're on a road that's just, it's too small, and there's other people who have, there are other people who have the same exact idea of avoiding the main highway. It just wasn't great. It would have been best to just drive south immediately and then drive east and then drive way back up north. Even though that's a very indirect route, it probably would have avoided a lot of traffic. There were situations where we saw there was like a quite long bridge that only was one car wide and there was no one guiding traffic. You turn off like this is not good. Anyway, as a result of us taking a very different route, we saw part of our city that we really, I had never seen before. I've heard of these places. And because U.S. cities tend to be quite large in surface, they might not have a huge number of people living in them, but because people live in houses rather than apartments, you know, that have, you know, 50 or 60 stories in them, the city occupies a very large amount of territory. And so there are places that you just haven't been in your own city. And that was the case for me. We drove past these places and drove along the river and saw, you know, a lot of heavy industry on the river. It was just a really completely different vision of my city than I'm used to. For the rest of the week, my older brother was here. He had also driven back to see the eclipse. It rained the whole time. The same thing happened this time that happens really every time, which is that he brought his bike and it rained, so he didn't get to ride it. He left a couple days ago, and no, yesterday. And that's how I've spent the last several days. I guess this was kind of an opportunity for you to hear kind of unrehearsed, unplanned English speech. I've been talking for quite a while now, so this episode's probably going to be pretty long. So let me get now actually back to the second part of the episode, which is modal verbs. So I want to start by giving the verb can some special attention. So can is one of those small words that students see and hear all the time, but there are some things about can that I'm pretty sure are new to you, even if you think you already know everything. The first is its real-world pronunciation, which is in fact quite different from the pronunciation you probably learned in school. The real-life pronunciation of can is more like kin, Not can, but kin. So we don't really say, I can, we say, I can, like, I can drive a car. We don't say, you can, instead we say, you can drive a car. The other real-world pronunciations with pronouns are she can, so like she can, she can, he can, icken, that's it can, icken, we can, that's we can, and they can, that's they can. So I'll just go through them one by one. I can, you can, he can, she can, icken, we can, they can. So when you hear these forms, the kin forms, you know that the sentence that you've heard is a positive one. Now, when we make negative sentences, on the other hand, with can't, we do hear the short ah sound. Listen to it. Can't. However, there's still one important difference between the book pronunciation and the real-world one, which is that the final t sound changes into a stopped partial pronunciation of the t. Let's listen a bit to both the book variant and the real-world pronunciation. So first, the book form. I can't go. Next, with the partial stopped t. I can't go. I can't go. Now, you might be thinking right now, well, the real-world pronunciation of negative I can't really sounds a lot like the book pronunciation of positive I can. And you know what? You're right. They do sound a lot alike. So let's compare the two forms again, the positive and the negative. First, we have the positive icon, where ip replaces a. Here it is, the positive sentence. I can go. And remember that in the negative, we do hear a clear, short a sound, but the t is reduced to a partial stopped t sound. Just listen. I can't go. So positive, I can go. Negative, I can't go. So, are we finally done with the pronunciation of this very small, ordinary word, can? Well, yes and no. Yes, because you know the real-world pronunciations now, but no, because the modal can has meanings in several different categories, so you will encounter it and its real-world pronunciations again and again in this episode, and also in the next one. Before we do that, though, let's do a few more examples, three to be exact. One, can you drive a car? Two, I'm very tired but can't sleep. Three, I can't read this book. It's very difficult to understand. Okay, now that we're done with the pronunciation of this key verb, let's move on to the categories of meaning that I mentioned earlier. The first category is ability. We have only one verb in this category, can, but we do need to work a bit with different forms of it. We also need to note that can is used to talk about one-time ability, often connected with a request, like in can you drive me to work tomorrow, and also general ability, like in can you speak Spanish. This meaning of can is a synonym, the second meaning is a synonym of know how to. So again, one-time ability, can you drive me to work tomorrow, and general ability, can you speak Spanish. So let's do three examples with one-time ability, often connected with a request. One, I lost my keys again. Can you help me find them? Two, can you order dinner for me while I drive home? Third and last, yes, I can work this weekend if you need me to. Now, let's do three examples of general ability, or know-how to. One, Sergei can speak and write Japanese. Two, my sister is very athletic and can easily run a half marathon. Third and last, my brother has worked in kitchens for years and can cook almost any dish you can think of. Okay, we're done with can for one-time or general ability in the present. By the way, before we move on, I want to point out that I've made several episodes about the surprising real-world pronunciations of words, which I call the chewing gum accent. If you want to learn more about this phenomenon, just scroll through the list of episodes, and you'll find the episodes called chewing gum. If I'm not mistaken, one of them is episode 7. Okay, but what if we need to talk about ability in the past? In that case, we use could. Here are three examples. One, Anya could speak English really well. Two, she could already drive when she was 16. Third and last, he couldn't work for a week because he was sick. After he got better, he came back to work. Okay, that's all for modal verbs in the category of ability. Let's move on to the next category, which is permission. Permission is telling another person that they're allowed to do something. We have four modal verbs of permission, and I will tell them to you with the most common and most informal verbs at the beginning. The first verb here is again can, which is used to ask for and also to give permission to do an action in the present. Listen to three examples, again paying attention to their real world or chewing gum pronunciations. 1. Can I pay in cash? 2. You can call me after 10 a.m. 3rd and last. Can I please open the window? It's very hot. About the politeness of can, it is the most informal modal of permission, but that does not mean that it's rude. It just means it's neutral. Let's move on to the next modal of permission, could, which is used to talk about permission in the present and is significantly more polite than can. 3 examples. 1. Could you speak slower? 2. Could you please give me a glass of water? 3rd and last. Could you please speak louder? I can't hear you. Let's move on to the next modal of permission, would, which is a bit more polite still than could, but not much. 3 examples. 1. Would you please pass me the salt? 2. Would you please speak more quietly? 3rd and last. Would you take me to the supermarket tomorrow morning? Let's do the final modal of permission now, which is may. May in this sense is old-fashioned and to my ear sounds honestly a bit too polite, but here is one example anyways. 1. Teacher, may I go to the bathroom? Yes, you may. Okay, let's move on to the next category of modals, which is offer or suggestion. The first verb of offer or suggestion here is again our superstar do-everything verb can. We use can to make an offer, and remember that an offer is kind of like a promise. If you offer to help someone, that means that if the other person says yes and then you don't help, then you broke a promise and you are a bad person. 3 examples. As always, pay attention to the chewing gum pronunciation of can. 1. We can help you. So if you say we can help you and then the person asks for your help and you don't do it, you're not a good person. That's not nice. 2. I can help them do their homework. Again, this is kind of like a promise. Offers are kind of like promises. 3rd and last, we can make lunch for you if you're hungry. Remember again that if the people who heard these questions or offer says yes, then you kind of have to do what you offered. Sorry, that's in the script. Anyway, an offer is not the same thing as a suggestion. When you make a suggestion, there is no promise. Instead, when you make a suggestion, you are just saying an idea about how to maybe solve a problem or just maybe have more fun. If you want to make a suggestion, then you use the verb could. If you use the verb could, the person you're talking to agrees that your idea is good. If the person that you're talking to agrees that your idea is good, and that doesn't mean you have to do what you suggested. So, 3 examples. 1. He could go by bus. 2. We could go to the movies tonight. 3rd and last. She could bring her friends to the party if she wanted to. Okay, that is all for this week. If you liked this content, please leave a rating on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It really helps this show to grow and succeed and reach more people. Also, if you have questions about what I've said today, follow the link to my personal website where you can ask questions what you've heard. I've put the link to my site in the description of this episode. I look forward to seeing you all next Monday. Thank you very much.